Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we cut through the noise and deliver the essential knowledge you need fast. Today, we are taking a deep dive into the evolving threat landscape facing small businesses. It's really a cybersecurity survival guide for 2025. Okay, let's unpack this. If you are a business owner, a manager, or maybe you're just the person responsible for protecting valuable data or learner today, you know the stakes are sky high. You need to know the specific attacks that are targeting you and, you know, the practical steps for defense without getting buried in all that impenetrable technical jargon. That's our mission here, to give you that shortcut to being well-informed.
And that mission is really urgent because small to medium-sized businesses, SMBs, they're no longer small fish. They are prime targets. And the data shows us why.
Why is that?
Well, SMBs store the same high-value assets as large enterprises' payments, IP, employee PII.
All the same stuff.
Exactly. But critically, they lack the dedicated IT security teams and, you know, the advanced systems that those Fortune 500 companies have.
That structural imbalance really is the whole problem, isn't it? What does the latest source material tell us about the actual scale of this threat?
The statistics are truly sobering. Over 43% of all cyber attacks now target SMBs specifically.
43%. Wow.
And the defense gap is just massive. Only 14% of these companies have what security experts would consider adequate defenses in place.
Well, what's the consequence of that failure?
It's catastrophic. 60% of small companies that suffer a major cyber event go out of business.
60%.
Within 6 months. And what makes this new reality so dangerous is that attackers, they don't need to be brilliant hackers anymore. They use AI and automation to scan thousands of targets at once, and the most sophisticated tools are available as cybercrime as a service.
On the dark web.
On the dark web, yes. So expertise is just, it's no longer a prerequisite for criminality.
So to survive, we need to know the attacker's playbook. We're focusing on 7 critical attack vectors and how to build a layered security strategy or defense in depth. Let's jump right in with the 2 attacks responsible for what, the most initial access and financial devastation.
We have to start with phishing. It's the quintessential social engineering threat. It remains the number one vector. It's responsible for over 91% of all successful attacks that gain that initial access to your network.
And we've moved so far beyond the, you know, the typo-ridden emails of the past. The sophistication level is astonishing now, especially with business email compromise or BEC.
Absolutely. BEC is by far the most damaging form. The FBI reports these attacks have caused over $2.7 billion in losses.
Dealing with a B.
Just in the past year alone. But that staggering number isn't just about the money. It's the realization that this attack relies entirely on bypassing our trust. Not our firewall.
It's a human problem.
It demands a human solution.
So how do these modern BEC attacks actually work? What makes them so hard to spot?
Well, they rely on deep reconnaissance. Attackers will research your organization to find key people, the CEO, the finance director, and then they use email spoofing or these really subtle misspellings in the sender's address to impersonate a trusted authority.
And then they create urgency.
Exactly. Artificial urgency, a secret merger, a wire transfer needed right now before the markets close. The employee's under pressure, they believe the source is legit, and they execute the fraudulent action.
So the defense has to be a mix of technology and psychology. What are the key non-negotiable defense nuggets here?
Multi-factor authentication MFA is mandatory, full stop, across the board. That's alongside things like AI email filtering and domain protection protocols like DMRH. But the data shows the biggest return on investment comes from regular security awareness training.
The human element again.
Yes. Organizations using comprehensive phishing protection combined with testing, they report up to 70% fewer successful attacks. That investment pays for itself immediately.
70% is a massive difference. That's the difference between life and that 60% failure statistic. Okay, let's move to attack number 2. Ransomware.
Right. So ransomware has evolved into this double extortion model. They no longer just encrypt your data and your systems, holding them hostage for payment. They steal the sensitive data first.
So they have a copy.
And they threaten public release if you don't pay. So they damage you financially and then reputationally. It's a double hit.
That sounds like an almost guaranteed path to ruin. If they do manage to encrypt everything, how hard is it to recover? Even if you decide to pay.
It is brutal. The average business downtime is 21 days, 3 weeks of total disruption.
21 days.
And here's the reality you need to know. Businesses that do pay the ransom only recover all their data about 65% of the time.
So you pay and you still might not get it back.
Exactly. And 73% experience repeat attacks. You cannot trust criminals even after you've met their demands.
So prevention is clearly exponentially cheaper than recovery. But I have to imagine psychologically, it's hard for small business to prioritize that abstract cost of prevention over, say, the cost of a new hire.
It's difficult, but the defense is all about resilience. We focus on prevention with things like endpoint detection and response, or EDR, to spot the unusual behavior of ransomware before encryption starts. But most importantly, resilience really hinges on the 3-2-1 backup strategy.
3-2-1, what's that?
It means three copies of your data on two different types of media, like a local server and maybe a tape drive, with one copy stored completely offsite or air-gapped.
Air-gapped meaning physically disconnected.
Physically disconnected and unreachable from your live network. If your backups are secure, you can survive.
Okay, we've talked about external attacks, but sometimes the enemy is already inside the walls operating with a stolen key. Let's look at why that key theft is now a preferred strategy.
That brings us to attack number three. Insider threats and credential theft. We usually define three types of insiders, but the most common one by far is the negligent insider.
The accidental one.
Yes, these are well-meaning people who just make mistakes. They fall for the phishing email, they click a bad link while multitasking, or use a weak password.
I bet every listener knows a story about that. It's not malice, it's just life colliding with security. What percentage of incidents are caused by this kind of honest human error?
Negligent actions are responsible for 62% of all security incidents.
Wow.
And credential theft is so preferred by external attackers because a stolen legitimate login just, it bypasses traditional perimeter defenses instantly. The attacker appears to be an authorized user, moving laterally across your network, accessing sensitive systems, and your legacy tools see nothing wrong.
So as a business owner, you have to be able to spot the anomaly. What are the key warning signs or behavioral patterns that the sources tell us to watch for?
You need to look for access pattern anomalies. Things like employees accessing files outside their normal job functions, or downloading unusually large amounts of data, or even accessing systems during off hours without a good explanation. The defense is built on limiting that potential access in the first place.
So how do you do that?
We implement role-based access control, or RBAC. This ensures users can only access the data they absolutely need to do their job and nothing more. We also use something called Privileged Access Management, or PAM, which strictly controls and monitors the use of administrative credentials, the master keys to your kingdom.
Okay, let's move to attack number four, cloud security vulnerabilities. So many small business owners pay for services like AWS or Azure and just assume, I'm covered. What is the single biggest, most common blind spot they have when they're relying on that massive cloud provider?
The blind spot is something called the shared responsibility model. The cloud provider, they secure the infrastructure up to the roof, the building, the servers, the network layer. But the business, you, are entirely responsible for everything inside that building. Data protection, identity management, and critically, configuration.
So it's the business leaving the digital door unlocked, not the cloud provider.
Yeah.
What's the most common mistake made in that configuration?
It's misconfigured access controls. For example, leaving cloud storage buckets, like Amazon S3 buckets, publicly accessible when they absolutely shouldn't be. This one, seemingly minor, error exposed over 5 billion records in 2024 alone.
5 billion.
And beyond the breach itself, the consequences can include severe compliance fines. We're talking millions under regulations like PAYE or GDPR.
Ouch. What's the tool the learner needs to fix that configuration problem?
Mandatory MFA and single sign-on are required. But for continuous peace of mind, you really need cloud security posture management tools, CSPM tools. Think of it like an automatic auditor that scans your cloud configuration 24/7, flags misconfigurations instantly, and forces a correction before a hacker even gets a chance.
Moving on to attack number five, supply chain and third-party vendor attacks. This is where an attacker compromises a trusted software vendor to get indirect access to thousands of their customers.
It's highly effective because it exploits the trust that's inherent in a business relationship. An attacker compromises a software provider. They insert malicious code into a legitimate update.
And when you download that update,
you infect yourself.
We've seen some very high-profile examples of this, which I think really illustrate the scale of the threat.
Oh, yes. You can look at SolarWinds, which compromised thousands of major organizations. But more relevant to the SMB market was the Kaseya VSA attack. That's where ransomware criminals compromised remote monitoring software, and they simultaneously infected up to 1,500 small businesses. The speed and scale are terrifying.
So how does a small business defend against a threat coming from someone they pay for a service?
Protection requires due diligence. You have to require your vendors to prove they follow security standards, things like SOC2 or ISO 27001 certifications. And then on your end, you need network segmentation to strictly isolate vendor access and monitor their activity within your systems continuously. And that leads us to the final two attacks. These focus on the new physical and virtual attack surfaces created by modern work, that expanding perimeter that goes far beyond the office walls. Attack number six is IoT and connected device vulnerabilities. The average small business operates 15 to 30 IoT devices.
Things like cameras, printers.
Cameras, printers, smart locks, HVAC controls. But less than 10% have actually inventoried them, leading to this vast amount of shadow IoT.
And these devices are fundamentally different from traditional IT assets, right? They often just lack basic security controls.
They're security nightmares. They ship with weak default credentials like admin that are almost never changed. They get infrequent updates, and they maintain a constant network presence, creating a 247 vulnerability. An attacker can infiltrate your network via an internet-connected security camera or intercept sensitive documents via a compromised network printer.
That network printer becoming a listening post is a really chilling thought. What's the fundamental immediate solution here?
Two things. First, immediately change those weak default credentials on installation. It's so simple. Second, network segmentation is crucial. Create a separate IoT network or VLAN so these consumer-grade devices can't talk directly to your core business servers and databases. You cut off that lateral movement.
And finally, attack number seven, mobile device and remote work security gaps. The shift to remote work has scattered our workforce onto uncontrolled home networks with consumer routers and shared devices.
And mobile security is constantly under attack. We see specific mobile vectors like smishing, that's SMS phishing, or malicious apps requesting excessive permissions. And then there's the particularly dangerous one, SIM swapping.
What's that?
That's where criminals trick your cell carrier into transferring your phone number to their SIM card, which lets them bypass SMS-based MFA. Your phone number becomes their access key.
So what's the fix for that wide-open, device-heavy perimeter?
We have to enforce control over all endpoints, regardless of location. This means mandatory mobile device management, MDM, and deploying EDR software on all mobile and remote devices. And critically, access must be secured using virtual private networks, VPNs, or ideally zero-trust network access, ZTNA.
ZTNA sounds like a sophisticated term. Yeah. How would you explain that simply for the learner?
Zero trust is basically treating every user, every device, every single time, like they just walked in off the street. So even if they're an employee, we verify their identity and check the health of their device before granting access to any resource. And even then, only the minimal access needed. It's the ultimate defense against stolen credentials.
Okay, we've covered the seven threats. Here's where it gets really interesting for me. We need to transition from the problem to the solution. How do we bring all these protective actions together into one systemic defense strategy?
We use the defense in depth principle. This means building overlapping layered security. The six essential layers are perimeter, network, endpoint, data, identity, and finally, human awareness.
Making employees your strongest link, not the weakest.
Exactly.
That sounds like a lot of expense and a lot of staff time.
Yeah.
What's the minimum viable security stack now? The essential technologies that are non-negotiable for an SMB to survive.
You need a next-generation firewall, or NGFW. It does much more than block ports. It actively inspects application traffic for threats. You need endpoint detection and response, EDR, which is far superior to traditional antivirus because it detects and responds to behavior before a threat becomes a disaster. And you also need a security information and event management tool, a SIM.
Can you break down SIM for us? What does that centralized management system actually do for a business owner?
Think of a SIM as the central nervous system for your security. It takes all the warning lights from your EDR, your NGFW, your cloud logs, analyzes them all together in real time, and tells you where the real danger is, separating the critical threats from all the background noise. Add to that the tested 3-2-1 backup strategy and robust patch management.
That list is comprehensive, but it also sounds overwhelming for a small business that might not even have a single full-time IT person. This complexity, it seems to lead directly to the essential need for managed cybersecurity services, or MCS.
MCS is that vital bridge. It provides small businesses with access to expensive, enterprise-grade technologies and, critically, 247 expert monitoring and rapid response. Threats often strike in the evening or on weekends when your staff is gone. An MCS provider is always watching and can respond instantly. Plus, they help with complex compliance requirements like California's CCPA laws.
And when we look at the cost perspective, how much should an SMB be budgeting for this kind of necessary protection?
Security experts generally recommend SMBs allocate about 5 to 15% of their total IT budget to cybersecurity.
Which sounds significant.
It does, but MCS offers cost predictability. And that's versus the unpredictable, catastrophic costs of a breach, which, as we establish, often leads to the business closing. The cost of prevention is always, always less than the cost of recovery. And just to reiterate the core takeaway here, security is an ongoing process. It's not a one-time setup. Since no defense is 100% effective, the ultimate goal is rapid detection and response containing a threat so quickly that it cannot cause significant damage or reach your critical data.
So what does this all mean at the end of the day? Security is not just a defensive cost. It actually becomes a competitive advantage. It builds customer trust, it ensures compliance, and it enables you to focus on growth without that constant fear of a sudden, unrecoverable catastrophe. It really is an investment in your future viability. Now, here's a final provocative thought for you to mull over. The most basic security measure, multi-factor authentication, is often the one employees resist or try to bypass. So if your defense relies heavily on technology and policies, but your employees haven't been tested through simple simulated phishing campaigns in the past quarter, how confident are you that your strongest layer of defense, your human awareness, is actually working under pressure? That's something worth preparing for.
A powerful note to end on. It reminds us where the ultimate responsibility lies.
Thank you for joining us for this deep dive into the 2025 cyber threat landscape. We hope this essential knowledge helps you prepare and protect your business today. We'll see you next time.